Testing. Okay. Good morning, everyone. How are you all doing? Long weekend. I don't think I saw the number of trucks and campers going north this weekend. I think there's a little bit of dampness out there that was preventing some people. My wife showed me a thing from, I don't know where it came from, but, some smart aleck says, you know, I can work all day and accomplish nothing. And I thought, well, I hope we don't have too many days like that. Just an announcement to single young adult people here. We have started a group of that age group. If you're going into grade 12 and up and single, we met a week ago, Saturday, and we want to invite, if you qualify in that age group, come and join us. We're going to be looking at some tapes. It's called Adulting, How Do You Become Adult? And this is something that I've had on my heart for quite a few years, and with the help of Miranda and some of the young people here, we've started it. So come this Saturday night, 7:30, join us here. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we open up our hearts to you. First, we would understand your word. You would open up heaven's gate and pour down your Holy Spirit upon that your word would have this effect on us. My heart. And I trust God that you for your honor. We thank you for the lessons that we can learn from the life of Abraham and Isaac, Sarah and Rebecca. Oh Lord, we pray that our hearts would be open to what you have for us this morning. I pray for each one here that they'll be open to the Holy Spirit working as we pray in Jesus' name, giving you thanks. Amen. How's that? I'm not cutting out in and out now? I thought he was just turning the volume up and down. He can really control things back there. So continue to make me sound good, or at least try to anyways. Let's read. Chapter 12. Verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summons Abram. What have you done to me? He said. Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. few weeks ago, Jared talked about the life of Abraham, or Abram as we know him here. And he talked about how he lived his life as a righteous man by faith. But I think it would be good for us this morning to take a look at when he failed, when he faltered in his faith. Because I want to tell you something. Most of us, in our life of faith, and I trust that each person here has a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't, before you leave today, I hope you'll trust him. Because living a life of faith is a victorious faith. But I want to show you, through the life of Abram, the consequences of when there's sin in the family. Abram had just got into the country and their famine starts. And what did God tell him? He says, you go to the land, I'll show you, and I'm going to look after you. But what did he do? Oh, famine, I'm going to go down to Egypt. That's where there's lots of food. Abram moved from trusting to scheming. I think I can go down there. Faith is living with no schemes. Are you a schemer? Hope not. He moved from confidence as he left Ur of the Chaldees and then later on Haran, he moved into with confidence. I can see him walking along with his servants and his cattle and his sheep. He had confidence, but he started to himself. If I go down to Egypt, Sarah is a very beautiful woman. He should have been thinking about his wife first. He should never have gone to Egypt. He put himself and his family in jeopardy. So he moved from others to self. And he moved from blessings to bringing judgment. Judgment fell on Pharaoh's household because of what Abram and his wife had decided to do. You know, Abram lost his testimony before unbelievers and faced embarrassment and a rebuke. It's pretty obvious that Sarah was a very beautiful woman. I've yet to see a Jewish girl that isn't beautiful yet. In fact, when I was taking journalism many, many, many years ago, and I thrived in the photography end of it, and one of the girls in the class, she was a Jewish girl, and she was very photogenic, and we were allowed to use the studio there to practice lighting techniques, and she was very beautiful. Easy to take pictures of modeling and that. But he said, Sarah, you'll show your love to me if you say that you're my sister. Well, it was a half-truth. They're half-brother and sister. But you know, half-truths are still a lie. How often we justify what we say when it's just a little bit of the truth, but half not truth. What happened? Well, Pharaoh's officials saw Sarah, and they praised her to Pharaoh, and he took her to the palace, probably placed in his harem. Now, I did some checking about this, because it says that he took her to as wife, or took her. There is a period of time that a Pharaoh required any of these potential wives had to go through a purification time. And you read that about in Esther. During this time, I believe that it became pretty obvious that Abram and Sarah are married. But Abram was well treated. He got sheep and cattle, slaves and donkeys. And it was almost like Pharaoh was giving her brother, quotation marks, a dowry so that he could make her his wife. Pharaoh and his household were afflicted with serious diseases because of this. And because of the superstitions and the climate down in Egypt, Pharaoh, smart man, he says, what's going on here? Figured it out. They're married. What were the consequences? Everything that Abram received in Egypt caused trouble. A little half lie, lots of trouble. It says that Abram got great wealth. They no sooner get back. Now, Lot was with them. So no sooner do they get back to the land of promise, place where he had an altar. What happened? Lot and Abram's herdsmen are starting fighting together because they don't have land for him. So what does Abram have to do? He says, Lot, you choose where you could go. You choose what direction. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. There's something cultural here. Because Lot was Abram's older brother's son, he deferred to Lot, even though he was the older one, he deferred to Lot to make the decision where he'd go. So once again, we see that, yeah, he screwed up bad down in Egypt, but God is blessing him. During this time, he even had to go and rescue Lot. Why? Because Lot had a taste of the world down in Egypt. Yeah, they were living in the promised land with his uncle. But when he went down to Egypt, he, this is real great here. And what did he do? Lot pitched his tent toward what? Sodom and Gomorrah, two of the leading cities of the time. We all know what happened. He got caught. Hauled off as a slave. Abraham mounted up his men, 318, I believe it is, men, trained in his household. And what did he do? He went and defeated those four kings and rescued Lot. Sarah was given a hand. Her name was Hagar, probably a young girl. And probably was of great assistance to Sarah. But God reaffirmed that you're going to have offspring as the star of the sky. And Hagar thinking, I can do this. She says, I haven't had any children. I'll give you Hagar, my handmaid, to be your wife, and she can raise children on my behalf. It caused a lot of sorrow in that household. Today, that's the reason there is conflict over with Israel. Because Hagar had Ishmael, who had 12 sons, parallel to Jacob's 12 sons, and they became the Arab nations. That's why there's conflict over there today. Why? Because of a half lie. Why? Because there was a compromise. The consequences of sin were seen today by a godly man so many thousand years before. I remember Mr. Taylor. Some of you remember Robert Taylor. Robert Taylor told me once, he says, John, if you're going to move, first of all, make sure it's God's will. And one of the indications that it's God's will is that you're going to have a church fellowship where you can worship and be ministered to. If you move away from a church that is, you got worship and you're getting fed, you got to make sure when you move, you have something to go to. If you're in that position right now, you've got to do what Abram did. He went back to the altar that he had between Bethel and Ai. He went back to where he had a place of worship and contention with God. Well, God blessed it. For 20 years, Abram and Sarah, they're being blessed tremendously. He was even warned about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham was the intercessor. Know the consequences. Lot and his daughter, they escaped. And for some reason, am I cutting out again? Mike, I feel like I can't hear. Okay. How's that? Hopefully that's more consistent. Abraham and Sarah decided to move closer to, well, it's a Philistine country. It's borderline. Gir, it's called. Now, Abraham being a pilgrim, he couldn't stay for very long sometimes because of the pasture. But Abraham and Sarah, they moved to the border of the Philistines. And Abimelech, who was the king. Now, Abimelech is the name of the Philistines' kings. It was kind of like a pharaoh or Caesar. And it was a generic name given to those kings of Philistines from Abraham to King David. His relocation could have been because of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the subsequent incest of Lot and his daughters. We don't know. But he decided to move. Just before I went there, God had reaffirmed that Sarah was going to have a baby, and you're going to give his name Isaac, and he's going to be your offspring. Well, what happened? He did the same cotton-picking thing again. He says, she's my sister. He moved from trusting to scheming, moved from confidence to fear, moved from self, and didn't think of his wife. Now, she could already be carrying Isaac. When the head of the household is out of the will of God, it can bring untold trouble to the wife and family. So men, are you in God's will this morning? Are you compromising your wife or your children or your grandchildren? You know, Abraham and Sarah failed to judge what they had happened 20 years before. What does it mean to judge something? It means that they would identify, say, God, I have caused problems here because of my sin. I lied. They never did that. Yes, they lived with the consequences, but there was no repentance. That's why they did it again. So there's consequences, but if there's no repentance, it can repeat itself. Well, Abimelech had a dream. You're a dead man. You're as good as dead because of Sarah. Well, Abimelech made restitution. God intervened on behalf of Abimelech. He returned Sarah to Abraham and gave lots of sheep and cattle, slaves, and 100 shekels of silver as an offense. What it did is it cost Abraham his character. He was rebuked by an ungodly king. Sometimes we have to make the distinction between what is right and what is safe. What is safe sometimes is scheming. What is right sometimes costs us something. Life of faith is not always safe by the world's standards. He lost his testimony, lost his ministry there. He almost lost Sarah and Isaac. In Genesis chapter 22, we see that their sins were forgiven and there was restored fellowship with the Lord. God even tested Abram. Take Isaac and offer him up on Mount Moriah. What a test. But so you see, there's the consequences of sin, but here he's still living a life of faith. God never condemns us for our sin when we have a relationship with him. But we have to suffer the consequences of that sin. Well, Abraham, he's getting older. He sends his most trusted servant off to get Rebekah. Trevor Ehrenholz talked about that wonderful story about this servant going and get Rebekah. And for some reason, I don't know how this happens, Abraham says, well, my body's as good as dead. How am I going to have a son? So a miracle happened, and a miracle happened to Sarah. And after about 3 years, he gets married again. He's 150 years old about. He lived to be 175. And he had 6 more kids. Talk about miracles. So Isaac got married when he was 40 years old. Isaac and Rebekah were a couple that they were praying. First of all, Isaac prayed for Rebekah because she didn't have any kids. So he prayed. And Rebekah got pregnant, and guess what happened? Baby started kicking, but it was more than just kicking. The word used there is jostled. I think there's a real war going on in her womb with those two boys because it was unprecedented. She says, what's going on, Lord? And the Lord says, well, you've got two nations in you. The younger will serve the older will serve the younger. So Isaac and Rebekah both knew that Jacob, being the second one, was going to be the one to receive the covenant blessing that Abraham had given to Isaac, and Isaac would pass on to his son. It would be Jacob. I was going to go into the life of Jacob, but I don't have time. But I want to talk about what happened here. Esau and Jacob had been born, and there was famine in the land. Sound familiar? 26. Now there was a famine in the land besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, to Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and says, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For you and your descendants I'll give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swear to your father Abraham. And I'll make your descendants as numerous as stars of the sky, and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my judgments, my commands, my decrees, my laws. So Isaac stayed near Gerar. What happened? People in Abimelech's court saw that Rebekah is one hot young lady. But what did he say? She's my sister. Because she doesn't want to see his wife. He thought, the men of this place will kill me on account of Rebekah, because she is beautiful. Kind of like almost a repetition of what happened to Abraham and Sarah. When Isaac was there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from the window and saw Isaac caressing his wife Rebekah. Oh, so, hey, there is caressing in the Bible, just so you know. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and says, "She really is your wife. Why did you say she is my sister?" And Isaac says, "Because I thought I might lose my life on account of you." And Abimelech says, "What is this that you've done to us? One of the men might have well slept with her, and you would have brought guilt upon it." So Abimelech gave orders to all the people, "Anyone who molests this man or his wife will surely be put to death." Once again, God rescues a lie because his hand was upon Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac planted crops and he became more wealthy. So why do I highlight these three incidences? We're all born with a sinful nature. Adam and Sarah had a sinful nature. But God stepped in and they, by faith they became righteous. And by faith we become righteous. My faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can be righteous. But I got a problem. Got an old sin nature. I have a bent towards sin. But when that sin, it repeats itself in the family, there's a problem. You can call it a family sin. You can call it generational sin. But it's something that keeps on raising its ugly head. It can be unforgiveness. It can be addictions. It can be adultery. It can be lust, gossip, lying to cover things up, deceit, cover up, jealousy, all those things. If they become a repetitive thing in your life, in your family, it has to be dealt with. Now, this is where the hard part comes in. My grandfather was an alcoholic. He was a binge drinker. So, my dad was very careful about having alcohol in the home. He says, "When my kids have all the milk and all the juice and all the chocolate milk that they can drink, I might consider having a bottle." So my dad stopped from because of his own life. He knew what it was like not to have his dad. His dad abandoned him. He was raised by a grandfather and then by some cousins. My dad made sure that that addiction would not pass through to him. However, other of my siblings got addicted to cigarette smoke and drinking, and two of them died because of cancer. Consequences of a sin can be far-reaching. So if there's sin in your life and you see it repeating, you've got to take it to the Lord and stop it in your generation. I was bullied mercilessly from grade 1 to grade 9. A lot of verbal abuse, claiming that I had fleas or my family had fleas, which we didn't. And I didn't realize it until one time. I was in my 40s, and I had a problem, and that was anger. Any situation that I could not control or somebody betrayed me, case in point, trying to herd sheep, animals. Some of you know, you're smiling, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They have their own way, and what would happen? I would get angry, at the sheep, but then I take it out on my wife and kids and dog. Not a good sight, you guys. I was driving into Edmonton to pick up some game that I had gone to All Well Meats, and I was listening to Charles Stanley, and Charles Stanley is a very good minister when it comes to forgiveness. And the Lord was speaking to me. He says, John, the reason you've got anger is because of unforgiveness. I had never forgiven those kids who treated me so hurtfully for all those years. And I had to say, Lord, I don't remember her name or his name, but I could picture them in my mind. I said, Lord, help me to forgive them. Because the Lord's prayer says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I didn't want to have that unforgiveness in my life because it was causing anger. I had to visualize those people and forgive them. Still have to be on guard. I still can get angry. It really cheeses me off when I see bullying, I tell you. Unforgiveness is in our family. I had one of my siblings. I never found out this for 50 years. I must have tattled on her. She got into trouble. I don't even remember what it was. She told my wife. So I wrote a letter. I'm very sorry for what I did. I don't remember what I did. I'm not the same person I was back when I was in junior high. So will you please forgive me for what I did? I'm sure I got you in trouble. Maybe because I was vindictive. Maybe because I was a little rascal boy. Friends, she never responded to me. And she never apologized. And now she's dead. I know I'm going to see her in glory. But you know, unforgiveness has a lot of hurt. So if you've got sin in your family's life, take it to the Lord, dear friends. I know I'm praying a lot for my kids that they would forgive because it's there. Unforgiveness. I thank the Lord that He showed me that part of my anger was for those kids. If there's sin in your life this morning, deal with it. I'd like to read a passage in 1 John. Verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, in Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth, live by the truth. But if we walk in the truth, walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim we to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and word has no place in our lives. We got time for a little walk. Walk down Romans Road. This is the righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no different, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the first, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is, and for your sakes we face death all the day long. We are considered as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you have sin in your life? Deal with it. Confess your sin. I close with Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What was it said of Abraham? And Ken read it this morning. He was looking for a city whose architect and founder was God. I hope you're looking for it too. Deal with sin in your life, dear friends. You'll be free.
Thank you, John, for sharing that very honest, very practical message with us this morning of the life of Abraham.